Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Lamed Chet. Today's daf has been dedicated in honor of Yafa Bat Shula, Sarah Bat Shula, Shlomo Ben Shula, and Yosef Ben Shula by their parents. May Hashem bless them with good luck and good health always. Amen.
Amen.
Today's daf is being studied by Ilu Nishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem, Tanihem began Eden. Amen.
Amen.
We are going to begin on Kufla Mitzayim Amud Bet, two lines from the bottom. We learned in our Mishnah a machloket between the Bili Ezer and Hachamim. Is it permissible to set up the Meshameret, which is the strainer, on Yom Tov as well as Shabbat? Rabbi Eliezer allowed setting up the strainer on Yom Tov. We concluded in yesterday's Gemara that the reason is because he subscribes to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and even a little more than Rabbi Yehuda, that allows Makshire Ochen Nefesh on Yom Tov. And therefore, since preparing the strainer is really a preparatory act in order to prepare the food, so that's why he allows it. Hachamim, however, forbade it. They said you cannot set up the strainer, not on Yom Tov, and not on Shabbat. So the Gemara wants to know now, if one did set it up, how far, to what extent is the Isur? Is it Isur Deoraita? Is it Isur Rabbanan? What is the issue? So the Gemara says, there was a question in the Midrash, Tala Mai. If they did hang up the, or set up the strainer, and the strainer was like a cloth we learned, they placed it over a barrel, Hakamim said it's forbidden, so the Gemara wants to know, Tala Mai, if they did it, what's the deen? That says, Amar of Yosef, Tala Hayav Hatat. So he goes to the extreme of Yosef and says, it's Isur Deoraita, Hayav Hatat. The issue that you have to say it is that you're making an oil. You're making a tent. Amar le Abaye. So Abaye says, Elame'ata, according to that reasoning, Tala kuza besichta. Hachename demechayev. Kuza is a small vessel. Sichta would be like a peg. The Gemara is saying, in Abaye's name, you mean to tell me that if I take a peg, it's in the wall already, I take a vessel and I hang it on this peg, are you going to tell me that that's also Isu Deoraita? Now that has nothing to do with putting a mesaninet over a barrel. What he's trying to say is, just like putting a mesaninet over a barrel, at worst it's only temporary. At worst it should be Ohel Arai. And a temporary tent for sure cannot be Asur Deoraita, just like putting a keli, hanging it from a peg, cannot be Asur from the Torah because of Binyan. Because hey, that's not Binyan, just as much as this is not making a permanent oil. Which means Abaye is trying to ask Rabbi Yosef, how could you go to the extent to say that it's Asur Deoraita? You know, according to that logic, you're going to tell me also, if I put a candy on a peg, that's also going to be Yisur Deoraita. Look at the four lines on the bottom in the Rashi. Hakan amed mechayev, v'akamai chayuva ika be'or l'harai, binyan gamur lo'avi. And when you're setting up this mesaninet, it definitely not is, it's not considered permanent construction. U'med rabananu demitzar. At most, you should tell me that it's asumed rabanan, gezerah, that you might come to make a permanent oil. So that's Abaye's contention against Rabbi Yosef. So the Gemara says, I'll go back to the bottom and read. Amar le Abaye, Ela me'ata, Tala kuza besichta, Chenamid mechayev, Ela amar Abaye, Mid Rabbanan, He, the Isur is only Isur Rabbanan, Shelo ya'ase, Kederek shu ose, Bechol. Which means, we don't want him to do something that in the normal way that he does it during the week. It's only a Sumad Rabbanan. What is this Isur exactly? So this Isur is called Uvdin Dehol. They don't want you to do things that resemble mundane acts of during the week. Now, what is the issue over here by putting the meshameret over the barrel. Of course, minat Torah, it's not an ohel. And really, ohel arai, it's really not so much of an ohel by putting a mitzaninet over a barrel. It's really not so much as of making a roof, etc. However, the hachamim will osir certain things because of din de'ol. It is similar to the act of making an ohel. And therefore, the rabbis didn't want not only to make an ohel on Shabbat, but they didn't want you to do things that are similar in nature to making an ohel, and therefore they will osir it bidrabbanan. That's called ovdin dehol. Literally means weekday actions. And the weekday action over here is because it looks like you're constructing a tent, even though it is not, but it's isut rabbanan nonetheless. So therefore, again, to conclude this point, according to the hachamim of our Mishnah that said it's forbidden to put this meshameret over the barrel, the isur is the rabbanan. Now the Gemara continues on different subjects regarding making tents on Shabbat. Abaye, one word before that. Mankit Abaye Chumre Matnita Vetani. Abaye collected. Mankit is he collected. Chumre Matnita. Different rules from different braitot, vetani, and he stated. Meaning he collected all different cases that talk about ohel, and he subdivided them into different categories. Some of the categories are going to be patura valasur, some of the categories are going to be hayav hatat, and some of the categories are going to be mutar. So he went throughout all the braitot, and he collected all the different cases that are possible to do with ohel, and he categorized them for us. And now the Gemara is going to give us the categories that he came up with. Number one, hagud. Okay, what is good? So Rashi tells us, read the word hagud, we'll read it together inside. Hu or shel behema. Okay, it's made out of leather of an animal. Tafur. Okay, it's sewed. Upiv, stitched. Upiv rahav me'od. Its opening is very wide. V'yesh lo shenatzim. It has straps. Okay? V'ovre derachim mimale'im oto yayin o halav. And the travelers would fill these pouches, we'll call them leather pouches. They would fill them with either wine or milk. Bimkom shetuk'im sham aholehem lalun. In the place where they would pitch their tents to sleep overnight. V'shotchin oto, and they would stretch the gud out. Upiv matuach al gabei yetedot. They would place poles in the ground, and they would actually stretch the leather out and have it hang over the poles. As she concludes that the wind would blow underneath it and around it in order to keep the contents inside of it cool. So what you're doing with this gud is you're actually making a type of oil. Because again, you're stretching it over the poles. So it is creating a roof with, you know, the air that is underneath it. So we have to know, is such a thing permissible on Shabbat or not? That's the first case called gud. Veham shameret. Meshameret, we know, that's the case of our Mishnah. Where you're placing the sifter over the barrel. Kila. No, kila is a canopy bed. Okay, the regular canopy bed, just to know the structure of it, has four poles. Okay, that come up from the bed, four posts that come up from the bed, and they place a sheet over it, all right, and that forms a roof. And the roof minimally has to be the width of a tefach in order to constitute an ohel. Okay, that's called a kila, it's a canopy bed. V'kise galin. Okay, that's a chair of galin. Now, that's the name of the place, actually. And Rashi tells us it's a chair that they actually were able to disassemble and put it back together again. Okay, it's not to be misconstrued as a folding chair. That's actually one piece that you just open and close. This actually comes apart.
Sectional.
Okay, exactly. A sectional chair that easily comes apart and you put it back together. Again, people that would travel would also take these type of furnishings with them. It's easy to them to, you know, put together and disassemble. So the Braita says regarding these three items, the gud, the mishamiret, the four items, the kila and the kiseh galin, lo yaseh. L'chetayla on Shabbat, you should not construct these items. V'ma'asa patur aval asur. But if you did these items, the deen is going to be patur aval asur. Again, these items are all ohel arayis, and the Hakami made a gezerah on ohel aray, lest you come make a permanent oil. And regarding the chair, the issue was that when you put it back together again, they were concerned that you might come to, you know, bang one of the pieces in, and you might transgress either the isur of boneh, you know, if you put it in tightly, or makibe patish. So therefore, the issue on these items is patur aval asur. Right? Now we get to the next section. Ahole keva. That's permanent roofs. Lo yaseh. Of course, you cannot do that on Shabbat. V'imasa hayav hatat. Okay, so those are going to be asur d'oraita, obviously because of their permanency. Aval mita v'kise traskal v'asla mutar lintotan l'chetechila. All these are bitas of bed. Now, of course, the bed is constructed already. But let's say the bed is just lying or standing vertically against the wall. So you'd be allowed to take that bed and put it down on the floor and lie it horizontally. Now, even though now you're creating an oil. Because bottom line now, the bottom of the bed has airspace underneath. Since the bed is constructed already, so it's not as if you're making an oil on Shabbat. The oil is there, you're just positioning it. And therefore, it's mutal l'chatechila. For that matter, you have a kiseh traskal. Kiseh traskal is like a chair, a portable chair, that has a piece of leather where you sit on, and you just fold it like a folding chair. Exactly. You open it up, and you sit on the leather, and you close it. Even though when you open it up, you're creating an oil, but since the chair is made already, right, you're just opening it up, there is no issue of oil. And for that matter, asla is similar to a kiseh traskal, only in that leather piece there is a hole in it, that the people would use, let's say, as a potty, where they would sit on it, and they would use it to relieve themselves. So since these items are made already, it's not considered making an oil, and therefore it'll be mutar. Rashi's lashon is, teha avid v'ka'eh, because they are already standing and made already. Again, so we gave three levels over here of oil. We gave the case of patur aval asur, that's the oil arai cases. We gave the hayav hatat, that's the oil keva case. And then we gave the case of mutar, where the items are really constructed already. Gemara continues. Ve'en notnin netluya b'shabbat. It is clear that according to our Mishnah, Hakamim said, it is forbidden to pour this wine into a mishameret that even was prepared from before Shabbat. What's going to happen? The wine is going to fall through the strainer, and the sediments are going to remain on top. So the Gemara wants to know, what exactly is the isur over here? Which one of the 39 melachot? Ibayelehu, shimer mai. Now let's say a person on Shabbat, bishogeg, he didn't realize that it's asur, he went and he did it. What's the isur? What isur did he make? Amar Rav Kahana, shimer hayav hatat. So first of all, he comes and says, it's isur deoraita. I mean, if you went and you actually poured the wine into the strainer, it's not a rabbinical isur. The isur is deoraita. Comes the Gemara and says, "Matkif la Rav Sheshat." So Rav Sheshat comes and has a question. Mi ika midi drabanan mechayve hatat
Well, we learned in our Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer actually said it's permissible to use the strainer on Shabbat. He just said you can't set it up on Shabbat, but you could use it on Shabbat. So this is a very very far ranging mahloket. You have the rabbis on one hand that say it's Yisu de'oraita, and then you have Rabbi Eliezer on the other extreme saying mutar lechatahila. So the Gemara asks, yeah, do we find such a thing? We find such a mahloket min hakatzeh el hakatzeh? Do we find such an extreme mahloket where one rabbi says it's asu d'oraita and the other rabbi says mutar? So the Gemara says, matkif la Rav Yosef, alama lo? Is it not so? Which means, you're telling me we don't find it. Why don't we find it? We do find it. Where do we find it? In the following case. We have the case where we discussed earlier in the Masechet, exactly, the ornament that the rich ladies used to wear. It was made out of gold, and it had like the image engraved of Jerusalem. And we call it the Ya'ir Shel Zahav. So regarding that piece of jewelry, we had a machloket. Did it be Mi'ir Mi'hayev Hatat? He says, if a lady wears that piece of jewelry in the public domain on Shabbat, it is considered full-fledged carrying. He holds that it's not considered a takshit, it's not considered jewelry, and therefore hayav hatat. Ve'rabbi Eliezer shari lechatahila. And Rabbi Eliezer on the other hand said, it's mutar for a lady to go out with this Ir Shel Zahav lechatahila. So you see, extreme. You have an extreme machloket. So what's so shocking to have such an extreme machloket? So the Gemara says, Mai, where is that machloket found? The Tanya, we have a braita. Lo tetze isha. I will go back to the two dots again. Ibayelu. I'm saying that I missed some words. Okay, and we'll go back. Ibayelu shimer mai. If a person was used the mishameret on Shabbat, what's the din? Amar avkana shimer hayav hatat. So he says that if you did it, you're going to be hayav hatat. But kifla Rav Sheshat. So Rav Sheshat asked the question. Okay, I think we asked that question. We read it. Do we find a case that the rabbis are going to say hayav hatat and Rabbi Eliezer is going to say mutar? Matkif le Rav Yosef, alam alo? What? We didn't find such a case. Hare Aisha Zahab. Did it be Meir Mechayev Chatat? For Rabbi Eliezer, Shalik HaTahila. We find the Mahlok by the Ir Shel Zahav, where the Rabbi Meir says it is Hayav Chatat if the lady wears it in the public domain on Shabbat, whereas the Rabbi Eliezer says, Shalik HaTahila. Mayi, where do we find it? The Tanya, the Baraita. Lo Tetzei Isha B'Ir Shel Zahav. Right? The first opinion says she shouldn't go out with it. V'im Yatza Hayev Chatat. So the Bimir's logic is what? Because it's not a takshit, he doesn't consider it a piece of jewelry, it's a burden, it's carrying. Hachamim say that she shouldn't go out with it. V'im yatza petura. The rabbis hold it's asud rabbanan. What's their logic? They hold that really it is a piece of jewelry, and therefore it should not be asud at all. But what are they concerned about? That the lady might take it off and show it, and she might come to carry it. So therefore, they all said it. But Rabbanan, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yotza Isha Be'ir Shel Zahav Lechatahila. What's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion? He agrees to the Hachamim that really it's a piece of jewelry. But he says, who wears such a piece of jewelry? Only the Hashavot, only the fancy ladies. And a fancy lady, it's not the derech v'at to go take it off and start showing her jewelry. So therefore, what do you see, but? You see, you do have an extreme machloket, whereas the Bimi'ir is telling you hayav hatat, and the other shitab, the Bidi Aizir is saying, it's mutalik ta'idah. Amale abaye, misabat the Bidi Aizir and the Bimi'ir kae. Do you think that the Bidi Aizir is reacting to the Bimi'ir shita? No, the Amar hayavat hatat, the Sir hayavat hatat, adrabanan kae. He's reacting to the rabbi's opinion, the Amre Patur Aval Asur. The Amar Lehu'i, when he came along and said, Mutalik Tahila. Which means it's not an extreme machloket here, because really you have three opinions. You have a Mutar, you have an Asur Midrabanan, and you have a Hayuf Hatat.
So therefore, when the Bili'ezer came along and said Mutalech Tehila, he was reacting to what the rabbi said, that it's only Asur Derabbanan. He's not reacting to what Rabbi Meir said. The truth of the matter is, Tosafot does not understand why that makes a difference. Tosafot Ibud Matkhil, Lissavat Rabbi Eliezer Kead Rabbi Meir, Lo Yada Rabbi Maika Mishaneh. He says, I don't know what this answer is. Because bottom line, it is still a extreme machlok, and you still have one rabbi saying Mutalech Tehila, another rabbi saying Asur Deoraita. I mean, so just because you have a buffer opinion in the middle, still, Chavra, what does that do? But the Gemara is saying that. And therefore, there is no problem to say that according to Hachamim, if you set up the, if you pour the through the strainer on Shabbat, it'll be Hayav Hatat. Whereas the Bili Aizah will say, it'll be Mutar Alech Tehila. Comes the Gemara and says, Mishumai matri nande. Okay, now what is the isur that you have to warn him for doing? We know to be hayav, especially let's say capital punishment, you need to be warned, right? You need to be told by two witnesses this is asur, and you must specify what isur and what melacha is being done in order to be held liable. So the Gemara wants to know, when you're pouring the wine in the strainer, Mishum Mai Matrina Be, what's the Isur? Rabba Amar Mishum Borer, Rabba says selecting. Rabbi Zerah Omer Mishum Miraked, Miraked is sifting. Amar Rabba, Kevati Didi Mistabra. It makes sense to what I said, that it's Borer. Ma Darko Shel Borer Noter Ochel Umaniyach Hapsolet. What is Borer? You're separating between the good and the bad. So here too, over here you're separating between the good and the bad, which means you have the wine and you have the sediments. So it's a typical borer. Amar Bizera, so the Bizera says kevati didi mistabra. He comes along and says it makes more sense, like I'm saying, that it's miraked, that it's sifting. Why? Madar koshel miraked, when you sift psolet mil ma'ala ve'ochel milimata. The sifting process keeps the bad stuff on top of the sifter, and the good stuff goes down. It's like the little kernels fall down into the sifter, and the junk stays on top. Afakha soturir name psolet mil ma'ala ve'ochel milimata. Here also, the psolet stays on top, that's the sediment, and the wine goes down. In Borer, it's the opposite. In Borer, the good stays on top and the bad goes down. So therefore, Rabbi Zerah says it's more mistaber that it'll be miraked as opposed to Borer for the way the selecting process is taking place. Now, that she clearly points out that Rabbah will agree that if you warn them for miraked, of course, that'll be a legitimate warning. He's just saying you could even warn him for borer. Whereas Rabbi Zerah is saying, no, the only thing you could warn him for is miraked, because this is more domeh to that melacha. And now we continue back to the laws of making oil arai on Shabbat. The Gemara says, Tani Rami Bari Yechezkel. We have a braita from Rami Bari Yechezkel. Talit kefula lo yaase. Vimahasa patur aval asur. What is a talit kefula? So, Rashi tells us you're taking a talit, which we know that is a garment, let's say, and you are spreading it over four poles with the intention to sleep underneath it. Now what happens when you drape it over the poles, it drapes on the sides as well, and it creates walls. So now you created a tent that has walls on the sides and a roof on top. And the reason why you do it is because you want to protect, you know, from the sun and the elements around. So the Gemara says, and such a thing you cannot do the Ketahina on Shabbat because you're making Ohel Arai. And constructing oil arai is forbidden. However, the Gemara says, If, however, there was attached to this talit, there was a string or mishiha or rope, mutar lin totar lechatehila. It is permissible to actually, by using the rope, pull it open and over the poles on Shabbat lechatehila. Now it was folded up. You're just now taking the string that was there and opening it up on Shabbat. Rashi learns the reason is because once there's a string there and it's sitting on top of the poles already, it's just considered mosif al ohel arai. It's not considered constructing it. It's there already. Yeah, even if it's not opened a tefach, according to this, you don't even have to have it opened a little. It's just sitting on the poles, and now you're just going to pull it with the strings that were attached on it before Shabbat. It's just considered you're adding to a temporary tent, while you're not allowed to construct the temporary tent, but to add to something that's there already, that's going to be permissible. Comes the Gemara and says, "Ba'amine Rav Kana Mirav." Different questions now were asked from Rav Kahana to Rav. Kila Mahu. What's the deen on a canopy bed on Shabbat? Amar le, so he said, canopy bed? Afmita asura. Forget about a canopy bed. Even a regular bed is forbidden on Shabbat to set up. So then he asked him, mita mahu. What's the deen with a bed at a different time? Amar le, afkila mutere. He said, a bed, even a canopy is permissible. Another time he asked him, kila umita mahu. He asked them together, both cases, a canopy and a bed. What's the deen? Amar de kila asura umita muteret. He told him the canopy is asur, the bed is mutar. Now, obviously, we're going to have to do some reconciling over here to explain all the different answers that he gave. Vela kasha. Gemara says not a kasha. All these answers. Had the kamar afmita asura. That which he said. That mita asura kedekarmanae. It's going like kedekarmanae. What is that? So Rashi tells us it's like a bed that has components to it. Just like we learned earlier, the bed that has components to it, would we say it's asur? Why? Because we're concerned that you maybe on Shabbat you're going to come and you put it back together, you might bang the pieces in, and that's going to be either boneh or makim patish. So when they asked him the question, mita, what's the deen? He said, asur. What was he referring to? To this type of bed that has components to it, you can't put it back together on Shabbat. Okay, that answers that question. So Gemara says, hadika amar le'af kila muteret. Oh, we told him, kila, the canopy bed, is permissible. What was that talking about? Kederami bar yahaskel. Right? Then we learned just now from Nami Bari Azkel that if it has strings already or a rope attached to it from before, you can just continue to finish draping it because it's considered Mosif al Oil Hadai. So that's the case where Kila is permitted. Kila Asura Umita Muteret. Now what's the case of a Kila that's Asura and a Mita that is permissible? Gemara says, Kedididan, like ours. Which means our beds, they're constructed already. So what are you doing with our beds? If it's lying vertically against the wall, you just want to put it on its legs, mutar, as we learned earlier, a regular bed is permissible. And our canopies are asur, obviously it's talking because they don't have the strings or the ropes, and therefore you can't, the Kataila, set it up on Shabbat. So therefore each deen that was given was in a different scenario and a different case. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Rav Yosef. Hazina lehu. Rav Yosef says, I saw lekilai deber Rav Huna. I saw the canopy beds of the house of Rav Huna. What did he see about them? The meurta nagidu, in the evening they were set up, meaning the canopy bed was made, the tent was there, Umitzafra habita ramya. And in the morning it was taken apart. So obviously they did something on Shabbat. So now the Gemara's assumption is, if they were able to take it apart, so obviously they were allowed to construct it, because you can't take an oil apart unless it would be permissible to put it together, which means it's the same deen, constructing a tent or taking apart a tent. So they saw in the house of Rav Huna, in the evening, Friday night, the canopy beds were made. Shabbat morning, they were gone. Now, how do we explain this? So one of the ways that we can explain what they were doing is you have to say that, like Tosafot says on the bottom of the daf, they must have had the strings and the ropes like Rabbi Bari Haskel. And since you have the strings and the ropes, so therefore they were allowed to construct it and they were allowed to take it apart, because it's Mosif alo al arayi, you're just taking apart the oil arayi as well, which would not be a problem in the case where you had the strings and ropes attached. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Rab Mishum Rabbi Chiya. Rav said in the name of Rabbi Chiya, Vilon mutar lintoto umutar leforko. What is a vilon? Vilon is a curtain. Yeah, you're allowed to set up, let's say, a curtain. You want to make a partition of some sort. So that's permissible on Shabbat. Why? It's not an oil. Oil is only when you make a roof. Then the rabbis made a gezerah, you can't make even a temporary. But to set up a partition made out of a curtain, let's say, no problem. You could put it together and you can actually take it apart as well. Ve'amar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chiya. And Shmuel said in the name of Rabbi Chiya, Kilat Hatanim Mutar Lintota Umutar Leforka. A canopy bed of grooms is permissible to construct it, and it's permissible to take it apart. Now, the canopy bed called Kilat Hatanim is a little different than the regular canopy bed that we're talking till now. If you look in your art scrolls, actually, just so you get a better visual of it, you'll see the picture. What it is it's the regular bed with the four legs, and then it has two center beams that go up, you know, from the ends, and then it has one cross beam on top. So when you drape it, what happens is the roof of it, it drapes to the sides, right? It slants, right? It slants to both sides. That is the kila hatani. Whereas the other kila, it just was a flat roof. This over here drapes on the triangular canopy. That's what they're calling it. That's a good word, a triangular canopy. Right, it looks like a teepee of some sort. Okay, so now let's get back to the deen over here. Kilat hatanim, this special kila, mutar lintota umutar leforka. Actually, let's read the sheet together. He'll give us a description. Top line in the sheet. Kilat hatanim lo damya lishar kilot. It's not similar to the other kilot. Shishar kilot pirusot al gabe kinof shehi ledalid. Just get that word. Shehi ledalid laglayim. It has four legs. V'yesh lagag, and it has a regular roof. The havi oil. V'shil hatanim. Al gaben naklitim she'enam ela shnayim be'emsa'it amita. That's the point. It only has two beams coming from the middle of the ends of each part of the bed. Ve'kane natun alehen, and you have a beam going across those two. Ve'abegen natun alehen, you put the garment over it. Ve'nofel lekan ulekan, and it falls to both sides. Ve'en lagag tefach. Right, and the thickness, the width of the top is not a tefah. Hilkach lav oilu. So since it's to make an oil, we learned earlier that what? It's got to have a width at least of a tefah. This kilat hatanim does not have that. So therefore you could put it together and you can actually take it apart. Now the Gemara is going to give certain conditions, however. Amar Rav Sheshat, Bered Rav Idi, Lo amaran ela she'em begagat tefach. Number one, the roof of it cannot have the width of a tefach. Aval yesh begagat tefach asura. That's condition number one. Condition number two, v'chi'en begagat tefach nameh, and even if the roof, let's say the apex of the kirat hatid, does not have a tefach, lo amaran ela she'en befachot mishlosha samuch legagat tefach. It also cannot have the width of a tefach within three tefachim of the roof, which means it slopes down, right? So in the slope, within three tefachim to the apex of it, also cannot have the width of a tefach. Because if it has the width of a tefach, it's considered a oil as well. And the Gemara continues with its conditions. Aval, yesh befachot mishlosha samuk legat tefach asur. If within three tefachim to the apex of the kila, it has the width of a tefach asur. Another condition. Ve'lo amaran ela she'en b'shipu'a tefach. Now, the rest of the kila obviously drapes down. So the Gemara is telling you the whole entire area where it's draping down cannot come to the width of a tefach. Meaning, it drapes down on both sides. Okay? So from the from one side to the center pole, it has to be less than a tefach. And then from the other side to the center pole, it also has to be less than a tefach. Meaning, so the entire width on the bottom of this kila, it's very narrow, it's less than two tefachim. Only then are we going to say it's permissible to construct it and take it apart. But if it doesn't have that condition, but if in its incline it has the width of a tefach, shipu'e ohalim ko'ahalim dameh. Gemara says the slope of ohalim are considered like an oil itself, and therefore it's going to be asur. Now the obvious question is, what in the world could you do with such a narrow canopy bed? It's not used clearly for sleeping. Now she says it's for decorative purposes. That's what they used to just keep like a piece of furniture. So far we have these conditions. Why would they call it kirat hatanim? Maybe that's in the room where the hatan would be. That was the type of furnishing that they would place. Ve'lo amaran ela de'lo nachin mepuria tefach. One more condition. It's only talking where, let's say, the draping does not overhang the bed a tefach. Meaning, you have the flat board where the bed is, technically, right? You have the draping on these sides. If the draping goes beyond the actual bed itself a tefach, which now there's an overhang, it's going to be asur. Why? Because now the bed becomes the oil. The actual board of the bed becomes the oil, and these overhang becomes the walls. And therefore, that's going to be asur. Aval nachid bepuria tefach asur. If it drapes the tefach, that's going to be asur. So the poskim will discuss from this halach, this gemara over here, the question about tablecloths, for example. Person puts a tablecloth on his table, right? Most tablecloths drape over the sides a tefach. So what are you going to tell me based on this gemara? So the table now becomes the oil, and the draping on the sides becomes the walls, and now you're going to have an issue of oil. So the poskim make a very simple chiluk. By the tablecloth, your kavanah is not to make an oil. You're covering the table. Over here in the bed, you are making some type of oil. After all, it is a canopy bed. So therefore, when you're doing something in the oil family, so then already you're going to have to be concerned about this issue of the overhang. But putting a tablecloth, the kavanah is not for an oil. You just want to cover a surface. And therefore, there would be no issue, bichlal, of having to worry about oil. Right? So those are the conditions. Ramadav Sheshat, Bered Rav Idi. Next case. Hai Siyana. What is a Siyana? So that she says, Kova Shel Lavad. Is a felt hat. Share. It's permissible to wear a felt hat on Shabbat. Veha Itmar Siyana Asur. Oh, we have another statement that says it's forbidden to wear a felt hat. So la kasha. Hadi it betefah, hadilit betefah. It depends if the rim or the brim of the hat extends a tefah. If it extends a tefah, the problem is it's an ohil. You have a tent, you're wearing a hat that has a brim that comes out of tefah, you're making a tent. Less than a tefah, it's not a tent. So comes again and says, Ela me'ata, according to what you're saying, shirbeb begilima tefah, hachan amed mechayev. That means to tell me if a person takes his gilima, his robe, let's say, and he puts it on his head, he drapes the gilima, his robe, over his head, and it extends above his head a tefah. Are you going to tell me that that's asur on Shabbat? And the Gemara assumes over here that that cannot be asur. So the Gemara revamps its answer and says, Ela la kasha, had mehadek, had lo mehadek. The issue is the hat tight or not? It's the way that she learns. If the, and the issue is not doing oil. Really, buy a hat. I don't care how long the brim is. It's not the issue of ohel. The issue is it might blow off your head, and you might come to carry it into the shoot of the beam. So that she says, if the hat is a good fitting hat, the mehadek, well, you can wear it. Why? It's not going to blow off. No gezerah. Had the lo mehadek, it's a, you know, loose fitting hat. The issue is it might blow off, and you might come to carry. That's the way that she learns the sugya. Tosfot and most of the other Rishonim, as well as Shulchan Aruch, has a different understanding of this Gemara, and they don't have the Girsa Ela, so this answer is not falling off on the previous assumption. But the Gemara is saying like this, you're right, the difference is if it has a tefah or not, that stands. But the issue is, mehadek or not, is the brim firm or not firm? Different item. If it's firm, then already it's like an oil. And therefore, why is it like an oil? Because bottom line, it is roofing, you know, over the person, blocking the sun, etc., like what a roof does, right? However, if it's not firm, no mehadek, so that's not considered already an oil because it is flimsy. So that would be the way the other rabbis learn. If you want to look at that, you see in Tosfot had the mehadek, pinesh rach she'enu nichfaf, meaning it doesn't bend, meaning it's firm. De'az nereich ke'en oil, metal is like an oil. De'lo mehadek shu nichfaf, it bends. De'az en nereich ke'en oil. So we have a great machloket over here amongst the Rishonim. Wearing a hat on Shabbat, does it constitute oil or not? Shitat Rashi, no. The issue is it might fall off. Shitat Arach and Tosfot, the Shulchan Aruch, the issue is indeed oil, if the brim is hot or not. Comes the Gemara and continues. Shalach l'Rami Bar Yechezkel l'Rav Huna. Rami Bar Yechezkel sent to Rav Huna. Emalan Izi. Tell me over my friend, Izi is my friend, Hanach mile me'alieta, these good words or precious words, important words, de'amar klan, that you've told us, mishemeh de'rav, that you're accustomed to tell us in the name of Rav. Tarte b'Shabbat, two of those statements were regarding the laws of Shabbat, ve'hada b'Torah, and one regarding Torah, meaning the concept of learning Torah. So this is what he sent them. You know, tell me over the famous three Hiddushim he used to say over in the name of Rav. Shalach le. So he sent them. Haditanya, number one. That we learned in the Braita. Gud bikisna mutar lintota b'Shabbat. There's a Braita that says the gud. We learned earlier what the gud was. That was the wine pouch. Right? That the leather wine pouch they used to put on the poles. And they used to have the wind swirl underneath it and around it in order to keep it cool. So the Braita said, "Gud pikisna, a leather pouch with its straps, mutar lintota b'Shabbat." Oh, here it says it's permissible to set it up on Shabbat. Now we learned earlier that from the Braita that it is forbidden. Right? We said it's one of the cases where it's asur midrabanan. So we said that over there it's referring to where the straps weren't attached to the gud. Then already it looks like you're making an ohel, because you have to actually take the straps and tie it. Here the straps are already tied to the gud, so therefore it looks like the oil is, so to speak, more prepared already, and therefore the rabbis did not make a gezerah. So Rav had a comment on this braita. What did he say? Amar Rav, lo shanu ela bebet b'nei adam. You can only stretch out this gud on the poles with two people, if two people are doing it. About the adam ehad asur, but one person it is forbidden. Now, what is the difference? So that she says, when you do with two people, you don't stretch it that much, and therefore it's not an ohel. But when one guy does it, it seems he stretches the leather plenty in order to make it considered enough to be asur. Okay, that's the way that she understands. So that's the first statement of Rav. Amar Abaye v'kila. You should know, setting up the kila, that's the canopy bed, afilu biyud b'nei adam asur. Even with 10 people, it's going to be asur. Because you're allowed to set up the gud with two people, but the canopy bed, even 10 people asur. Why? It's inevitable that it's going to get stretched even a little, and it's going to be a legitimate ohel. Idachmai, what's the second statement that Rav said? Detanya, we have a braita. Kira is an oven. Shenishmeta echat miyarkoteha. One of the legs of the oven fell off on Shabbat. Mutar letaltela. You could still move it. Let's analyze. What is an oven? An oven would be a kli shemelachto leisur. Its primary function is for cooking. Now, what's the law? A kli shemelachto leisur is permissible to move if you need a place. So let's say you need the place where the oven is. Now, even though it broke, but one leg coming off is not considered yet not an oven. You can still use it as an oven. Therefore, it still has functionality. So it's keli shemelachto leisur. You can move it in order to use the place. Shtayim asur. Once already two legs break of the oven, already becomes full-fledged mukseh, because now it has no function. You can't use a broken oven like that. Therefore, you would not be allowed to move it. That was the braita. Rav commented on the braita. Rav amar afilu hadna me'asur. Rav says, and he could argue on the braita, because Rav is considered like a Tana. Rav says, even if one leg broke, the oven becomes mukseh. Why? Gezerah shemeyitka. We're worried over here that if, exactly, you might come and bang the leg back in. And if you do that, it'll be isur of boneh or makeh bepati. So that's Rav's second hidush. And Tanakama obviously holds, when one leg falls off, we're not so worried that the guy's going to come and bang at him. Once two legs come off, it's broken. Therefore, the thing becomes mukseh, and therefore, you cannot move it. Now, Torah, what was his third hidush regarding Torah? The Amar Rav. Rav said, Atida Torah shetishtakach miYisrael. There's going to come a time where the Torah is going to be forgotten from the Jewish nation. Shnei Emar, Vehifla Hashem et makotecha. God is going to give you wondrous makot. Vehifla. It's going to be a wondrous makah, wondrous blow. The Gemara says, Haflazu eni yodea mahu. What is this wondrous? What is this wondrous blow that the pasuk is talking about? Kishu Omer, we have another pasuk that says, Lachen inini yosif lafli et ha'am hazeh hafle vafele. The pasuk says that God says, I'm going to continue to blow this nation and attack this nation. A wonder of wonders. A double language. Hafle vafele. Have omer hafla azu Torah. Must be this wonder is referring to Torah. How do we know that? Because the end of that pasuk, it says, Ve'avda chokhmat hachamav. Ubinat nebonav tistatar. Hachamim are going to forget their wisdom, and the knowledge of the Nivunim is going to be forgotten. And therefore when the Pasuk says originally, Ve'hifla Hashem, it's going to be the wondrous plague that's mentioned in another Pasuk where there's not going to be any Torah scholarship. Torah is going to be almost forgotten in the Klal Yisrael. Tanna the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Kishiniknesu Rabotinu Lekenim Be'yavne. When the rabbis entered the yeshiva in Yavne, they called that yeshiva Kerem VeYavne because they used to sit in the formation of a vineyard in rows. So they called it Kerem VeYavne. Amru, they said, Atida Torah Shetistakach Yisrael. There's going to come a time where the Torah is going to be forgotten by Israel, the Jewish people. Shnei Emar, Hine Yamin Ba'im Ne'um Hashem Elohim. The prophet says in the name of God that days are going to come. V'shtachti ra'avaris, and there's going to be a famine that comes in the land. Lo ra'av lelechem, it's not going to be a famine where people are searching bread. V'lo tzama l'mayim, nor it's going to be not a drought where they're going to be interested in water. Kim l'shmoa edivar Hashem, they're going to be thirsty and hungry to hear the word of God. Uchtiv v'na'u mayim ad yam u'misafon v'ad mizrach yeshotetu levakesh edivar Hashem. Which means they're going to search and they're going to move. They're going to go from east to west, north to south, in order to search out the word of God. They're not going to find it. So the prophet is prophesying that there's going to come a time where Torah scholarship is going to be non-existent. So the Gemara says, Devar Hashem, what does it mean that they're going to be searching for Devar Hashem? What is this Devar Hashem? So the Gemara says, Zu Halakha. This is referring to Halakha. And that she quotes a Pasuk in Devarim, that the word Devar Hashem refers to Torah. Devar Hashem, Zehaketz. Furthermore, the word Devar Hashem refers to the end of time, which means they're not going to have anybody to go to tell them when the end is going to be, when the exile is going to come to an end. That she says he doesn't have a biblical source where the words Devar Hashem refer to the end of the exile. However, Tosafot does quote a pasuk in Yirmiyah with the word Devar Hashem refers to the end of exile. Devar Hashem zu nevuah. The word Devar Hashem also refers to there's not going to be prophecy to go get counsel. And what exactly, he says, they're going to be searching, they're going to be running. What's the dilemma that they're going to have? What's the question that they're going to have? Amru, atida isha shetitul kikar shel teruma. The lady is going to take a loaf of teruma. That's the food that belongs to the Kohen, right? It's Kodesh. V'tachzor bebatei kenesiyot bebatei midrashot. She's going to run around to the yeshivas, to the synagogues, lida im teme'ahi ve'im tehorahi ve'en mevin. She's going to ask, is it tahor or is it tameh? She's not going to know the deen. What's the case? We're talking about where there was an oven, and the oven had a sheretz in it. Sheretz is considered avatum'ah. It was in the oven, it rendered the oven tameh. Terumah was cooked in the oven. So they're going to come running to the rabbis, what's the deen with the terumah that was cooked in an oven that had a sheretz in it? Is it tahor or tameh? That's the question that they're going to ask, and nobody's going to be able to give an answer. So the Gemara says, im tehorai v'im temeai v'ed yaketiv be. What does that mean? If it's tahor or not, that's written explicitly in the Torah. Means you don't need the hakamim for that. That's written in the books, because it says mikol ha'ochel asher yachel. In that pasuk in the beginning, it talks about if you have a tanur, and the tanur is tameh, whatever food goes into that tameh oven will become tameh. It's a no-brainer. You don't need hakamim for that. So the Gemara says ela lida im rishonahi. So the Gemara says they're not. The question is, we know it's tameh. What level? Let's review. We know a sheretz is a rishon. I'm sorry, av letumah. Sheretz is an av, right? Now, if it's in the oven, seemingly, it makes the oven a Rishon de Tum'ah. Now, if the Terumah goes in the oven, seemingly, it makes it a Shini. For some reason, they're going to be in doubt. What is the status level of this Tameh Terumah? Is it a Rishon or is it Shini? So the Gemara says, Ve'en Mevin. And the rabbis are not going to know. Gemara says, Ha Nami Matnitiri. What are you talking? That's an explicit Mishnah. They know the stuff that's written, but what does it say in the Mishnah? Kedetnan. Hasheretz Shinimsa Betanur. If you have a sheretz, right? That's a rodent that died that's Tameh. It's in an oven. Hapat Shebetocha Shiniya. Beferush. Bread that's found in the tanur has a din of a shini. Why? Shatanur tehila. Because the tanur has a din of a rishon. Tehila is a rishon. So that makes the bread that touches the oven a shini. So again, what's the question that they're going to have that the rabbi's not going to know? So Gemara says, Mistapka lehu hada amar le rav ada barahava le rava. The safek is going to be what Rav Ada Bar Abba told Rava. Lechzeye haytanura keman demale tuma. Maybe we should consider that when a sheretz goes into a oven, those ovens in those days were made out of heretz, pottery, clay. We have a law. When something goes into a keli heretz, even if it doesn't touch the walls of a keli ha'eres, even if the tumah is suspended in the airspace of keli ha'eres, it makes the keli ha'eres tameh. So Rav Ada Bar Abba wanted to explain how that works. You know how that works? He wanted to say that we consider as if when the sheretz is in the airspace, we consider as if the entire oven is filled with a sheretz, and therefore it's as if the sheretz is actually touching the walls. And therefore, v'teheve pat rishona. And now, if the bread goes into that oven, it's as if it touched the sheretz. Because we're considering the whole oven as if it's filled with a sheretz. The sheretz is an av. And if the bread is in that airspace now, it's like it touched it. So that was this effect. Is it a rishon or is it a sheni? Amar le, and Rava answered back to Rav Ada Bar Abba, lo amrina lechziyeh haytanura keman demale tumah. We don't consider it as if the sheretz is filling the whole cavity of the oven, and therefore the sheretz makes the oven a rishon, and now the bread that goes into the tanur will become a sheni. How does he know that? Netanya. As we have a baraita. Yachol Yehu kol hakelim metameim be'avir keli ha'eres. Take the same case of the oven. Have a keli ha'eres, stameh. You have vessels now. Keli shetef. Let's say you have a metal vessel, right? The metal vessel now went into the keli ha'eres. The oven, you have a vessel, keli. Metal, but now it's in the airspace of the oven. So the Gemara is asking, will that metal vessel become tameh in the keli ha'eres? The Gemara says, no. Tamud omar, kol asher betocho yitma, mikol ha'ochel asher ya'achel. Only food can become tameh in the oven. Ochlin metameh'in ba'avir keli ha'eres, ve'en kelim metameh'in ba'avin keli ha'eres. Food, yeah, kelim, no. What are we talking about? I'll explain. The kelim that now are in the airspace of this keli ha'eres. If you're going to tell me that what? We consider the whole oven as if it's filled with sheretz. So then, of course, if a keli was now in this oven, it's like a sheretz is touching the back of the keli. Now we know clearly if a sheretz touches a keli, it makes it tameh. From the fact that the Braita is telling me that if a keli goes in the oven, it does not become tameh, that must be because you don't consider the whole oven filled with sheretz. Again, if you consider the whole oven filled with sheretz, that's a no-brainer. It's just means the sheretz is touching the back of a metal keli. When you touch a metal keli, even from the back of it, the whole keli becomes tameh. But the Torah is telling you, no, only food stuff. Now let's analyze. Let's analyze. The keli that's in this oven, the Torah is telling you, will not become tameh at all. Why? Maybe it'll become tameh. It is touching the oven. Let it become tameh from the wall of the oven. Well, let's analyze. The wall of the oven is a rishon. The Torah must be telling us that a rishon level cannot mitameh kelim. And that is indeed a law, by the way. A rishon level can only mitameh food stuff. And where do you know that from? From right here. This is the source where we learn that a rishon cannot mitameh kelim. From where? The fact that you tell me, if this keli, this metal keli, went into this tanur, no tumah. Well, number one, it's no tumah because obviously you're not considering the whole oven sheretz. Because if you did, then it would be tameh, it would become a rishon. And you're not considering, obviously, the oven having the ability to mitameh the keli. Because the oven becomes a rishon, and it cannot make the keli a sheni. But what can it make a sheni? The food stuff, that's what the pasuk says, the food that's inside will become a sheni. So therefore, he proved in Rabbah that we don't say the whole oven is considered filled with sheretz. Comes the Gemara and continues, Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai came along and said, Has v'shalom shetishtakach Torah miYisrael. Chas v'shalom, it's not so. Torah will not be forgotten in Klal Yisrael. Shene'emar, ki lo teshakach mepi zar'ot. Torah tells us that the Torah will never be forgotten from the descendants of Israel. If you look at this pasuk, the Sofet Tevot spells Yochai. Meaning this is, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai himself was responsible for making sure that the Torah will not be forgotten. In Klal Yisrael, Elamani mekayem yeshotetu levakesh devar Hashem velo yimsau. Oh, but it does say they're going to search throughout the land and they're not going to find. What are they not going to find? Shelo yimseu halacha berura u'mishna berura b'mkom echad. The Gemara is telling you there's going to be Torah. It's just that they're not going to find halacha berura, which means there's going to be a lot of machloket. There's going to be a lot of dissenting views. There's not going to be a clarity in halacha u'mishna berura. Mishna berura means there's not going to be a clarity in the texts of the Mishnayot. And therefore there's going to be Torah, but there's going to be a lot of questions, b'makom echad, which you're not going to be able to find it in one place, meaning it's not going to exist. That's what it means, atida, toda, that's what it means in the pasuk, yeshotetu, that they're going to search, they're not going to find, the clarity that they had in the previous generations.